It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast of Facebook Whistleblower, coming face-to-face with Congress today.
Facebook makes more money when you consume more content.
37-year-old Frances Haugen comparing that social media site to big tobacco for putting profits ahead of people. Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal chairs the Senate Commerce Committee.
Facebook knows its products can be addictive and toxic.
Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn.
They invade the privacy not only of adults, but of children.
Facebook's accused of hiding from the public the potential risk of suicide and negative body image its Instagram platform poses to children. Attorney General Merrick Garland is cracking down on parents who protest the teaching of critical race theory in school. Amy Jarr has kids in the Loudoun County, Virginia school district, which is the epicenter of this war over controversial curriculum.
Listen, it's the parents that know what's going on here. We're doing everything we can to get it out there by being on the media, by trying to recall our school boards. We have to keep the pressure on because they want to silence us, and we can't let them win at that.
The National School Board Association has asked the Biden administration to use the Patriot Act against parents who oppose CRT. That organization links parent protests over critical race theory to hate crimes and even domestic terrorism. President Biden's Build Back Better agenda is hanging on by a thread as he tries to sell the plan directly to the American people today with a rally in Howell, Michigan. Kentucky Congressman James Comer says the commander-in-chief has capitulated to the far left.
Despite the fact that Joe Biden pledged to be bipartisan, Joe Biden and the Democrat majority in the Senate and the House have not tried to work with Republicans any. Two of their senators bucked their agenda. Now they're pointing fingers and blaming Republicans.
President Biden blames Republicans for the current fiscal crisis. He warns if Congress does not raise the debt ceiling by October 18th, America will default on its debt for the first time in history. The president is sounding off on the recent harassments that moderate Democrats Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin were subjected to by far-left activists.
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody. From the, the only people it doesn't happen to are people who have Secret Service standing around them. So it's part of the process.
Senator Sinema was hounded in a bathroom and on an airplane for her refusal to support the $3.5 trillion social welfare program. Supply chain problems could throw a monkey wrench into your Christmas shopping this year. Fox News business analyst Stuart Varney.
There's a shortage of containers in the right place at the right time. There's a shortage of truck drivers to take it from the port to wherever it's got to go. The bottom line is order now, because there are supply chain problems, and you might not get what you want come Christmas.
Cargo ships off the coast of L.A. are delayed by about 4 weeks, and that is keeping goods out of stores. A ship's anchor may be to blame for that oil slick off the coast of Southern California. Investigators think the anchor ruptured an underwater pipeline 4.5 miles offshore. Katrina Foley with the Orange County Emergency Management Agency.
This is just a devastating impact onto our coast.
The oil spill has closed beaches, contaminated wetlands, and killed wildlife. History made at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. For the first time in its nearly 100-year history, there was an all-female guard on duty yesterday. The changing of the guard at Arlington National Cemetery happens every hour or half hour, depending on the time of year. And the greatest rivalry in professional sports resumes tonight. It'll take center stage as the Yankees take on the Boston Red Sox in the American League wild card game. Yankees manager Aaron Boone.
Some tension, electricity, you know, everything you could hope for a, you know, winner-take-all game in the playoffs.
The first pitch from Fenway Park set for just past 8 on ESPN. Still to come on the Noon Report for Tuesday, the sub shortage at school, pushing pot again in Pennsylvania, and the judge that won't budge. And she's been barred from the courtroom as a result. We'll talk about it after this.
Well, good afternoon to all. Not too much happening on the weather front right now. We're stuck in this cloud pattern for most of the region for another night and day, but no big rains are coming, just a couple of scattered showers. I'll be back with forecast details coming up in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, we will see you then. Thank you very much. Let's check the stories making news where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, four children injured during a collision Monday. It happened between a pickup truck and an Amish buggy in Cattaraugus County, New York, the town of Farmersville. Police say the buggy pulled out in front of that truck. Two of the children remain in critical condition today. Authorities are blaming a natural gas leak for a home explosion in the town of Bolivar, New York. That happened on Saturday. The blast killed one man and was so powerful that it sent the roof of the home 20 feet into the air. New York's Cannabis Control Board meeting for the very first time today.
State lawmakers gave the thumbs up to legalizing pot in New York 6 months ago, and finally, the Cannabis Control Board will meet today. The five-member panel tasked with putting the marijuana industry together, and they'll oversee who gets a license to sell weed. It's believed the cannabis industry could bring in $350 million in tax revenue each year and could also employ 60,000 New Yorkers statewide. Noam Layden, New York.
Another Pennsylvania Republican calling for the legalization of adult-use marijuana. He's State Senator Mike Regan, a former U.S. Marshal who spent years fighting the drug wars. Regan thinks, given his background, he should be able to convince more in his own party to give pot the green light.
It's a big thing for people to wrap their heads around legalizing marijuana, but it's not really being enforced right now. And the only people who are winning are the bad guys. I think I need an opportunity to get before the group and present my rationale. Maybe they'll change their minds. We'll see.
Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute says even with the senator's endorsement, there is no appetite in the General Assembly to make marijuana legal this year. That said, Geer fears efforts to make pot more attractive is something that should concern parents in Pennsylvania.
One of the things to look at is what's being told to our children. One of our employees, Dan Bartkowiak, went to the local library and found a book in the children's section right next to the Curious George book. And the book was called It's Just a Plant. It's aimed at elementary school kids and younger, really small children, talking about marijuana and all positive about marijuana. And it's about a mom and a dad who are smoking a joint in their living room and telling their kids all about marijuana. So Our kids are being targeted, even as the lawmakers are considering this. We need to be looking at what's happening to our kids.
Pennsylvania's in the process of trying to become the 19th state to legalize recreational marijuana. New York's Attorney General Tish James is making available $1.5 billion to combat the opioid crisis. It's all part of her Heal New York initiative. Those funds are going to all parts of the state impacted by prescription drug abuse. The money's part of a national settlement with Big Pharma, which was recently found liable in perpetuating the drug crisis. An 18-year-old from Elmira, New York, has just been indicted for possessing fentanyl and intending to sell it. A grand jury says there's enough evidence to proceed with a trial for Cameron McPherson. Cops say he was arrested in early August for possessing more than 1,400 lethal doses of fentanyl. Reaction continues to pour in Rochester to the resignation of embattled Mayor Lovely Warren. The Democrat will step down December 1st after pleading guilty to campaign finance abuses. Some Rochester residents think the mayor got off easy.
Honestly, I think it seems like a cop-out. Now this allows her the opportunity to kind of continue her reign of politics and maybe jump into another aspect of politics in New York State.
Others are sad to see the mayor go.
She was a great woman to us as far as putting things in the community. I really love it. You know, and I'm sorry that she had to go through what she did.
Warren's successor, City Councilman Malik Evans.
Rochesterians want to see Rochester thrive and just not survive. So I think that Rochester will continue to move forward and bounce back. And it's up to us in the community to focus on these challenges that we have.
Lovely Warren was due to leave office anyhow January 1st. Her plea deal will essentially drop the criminal case against her. She also gets to keep her law license. Winter is coming and PennDOT is looking to hire hundreds of seasonal workers. workers. The Pennsylvania Department of Transportation needs more than 600 equipment operators. These workers are necessary to keep the roads clear of ice and snow when the weather worsens. The chairman of the New York State Democratic Party is endorsing Governor Kathy Hochul for re-election.
Jay Jacobs told reporters Hochul can beat any Republican that might run this coming fall. He also praised her work in office since being sworn in August 25th.
Kathy Hochul has earned the support that she is getting from me, at least.
Hochul thanked Jacobs for his support, saying she looks forward to working with him going forward. She will face challengers during the primary as she looks to secure the Democratic nomination. New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams is in the running, and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio has also hinted he'd be interested. Liz Warner, New York.
For the first time in more than 3 months, the country is starting to see a decline in COVID cases and hospitalization. That is very good news. In Pennsylvania, however, cases are still climbing, though projections show a plateau within the next few weeks. There's a substitute teacher shortage in New York public schools. Bruce Potter is superintendent of the Mechanicsville School District.
It's a perfect storm in a negative way.
He says COVID quarantining has classrooms reeling to find replacement teachers.
For example, last Tuesday, we had 9 faculty out district-wide with 0 substitute coverage. Wednesday, we had 10 faculty out.
Potter says his district has had to switch to remote learning for a couple of days last week. Due to the shortage of substitute teachers, most schools pay up to $125 a day for qualified substitute teachers. A vaccine mandate's forcing teachers out of the classroom in New York City. Thousands of educators suspended for refusing to get the shot.
It saddens me. I love my kids and I love the community that I work in and I love my school staff.
Trinidad Smith has taught school in Brooklyn for over 20 years and says if her last-ditch lawsuit fails, she will be forced into early retirement.
This is definitely a last attempt for us, and we hope that at least it gets us, it buys us a little time so that we have an opportunity to be heard in the Supreme Court to at least plead our case.
Smith's lawsuit went before a judge this morning. She is suing after being denied a religious exemption to the vaccine mandate. One of New York's most senior judges has been barred from the courtroom because of her refusal to be inoculated.
Yeah, that's right. Associate Court of Appeals Judge Jenny Rivera is the only state jurist out of about 1,300 who declined the jab and failed to apply for a medical or religious waiver. The Columbia University School of Law graduate was barred from entering any court facilities, including her own chambers, when the state unified court system's vaccine mandate went into effect. Rivera is one of just 7 judges on the Court of Appeals, headed by Chief Judge Janet DeFiore. The panel meets in person about once a month to hear oral arguments in an Albany courthouse. But Rivera is the only jurist to join the panel via video since the court resumed in-person sessions back in March. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. More than 50 Penn State professors are protesting university-related COVID policies this week by holding what's called a Teach Outside event. Classes are being moved to outdoor locations through Thursday. The Penn State profs want a vaccine mandate and increased safety precautions at large events like Penn State football games. The family of a missing woman from Western New York is eager for answers after human remains were found in the woods in rural Chautauqua County.
It's not just us. I mean, there's other people that are out there waiting for answers, too. So my heart goes out to them because I know exactly how they're feeling.
That's Vicky Aquisto, the mother of 36-year-old Corey Anderson, who went missing in October of 2008.
We'll wait and see what happens. They have told us that it probably is not her.
Authorities are hoping the recent discovery will help solve one of 3 missing person cases in Western New York. Aquisto says she relies on her faith to get her through the day.
I go to the Lord and he helps me through the whole thing.
It has been 8 days since a hiker spotted the remains on a path at the Rails to Trails Park in the town of Portland. Those remains have been sent to a lab in Erie, Pennsylvania for further analysis. A Delaware County, New York police officer fatally shot an armed man yesterday while responding to a mental health call. That deadly encounter happened in the village of Walton, 60 miles east of Binghamton. The officer repeatedly told the 66-year-old to drop his gun. When he did not, he was shot. That incident is being investigated now by the New York State Attorney General's Office. A Southern Tier bank in business for more than 150 years has just announced plans to merge with a larger financial institution. Here's Family Life's Mark Webster.
Elmira-based Elmira Savings Bank, with a dozen branches around the Finger Lakes, says it will merge early next year with Community Bank System. Community operates more than 200 banking facilities across upstate New York, northeastern Pennsylvania, Vermont, and western Massachusetts through its subsidiary Community Bank NA. Elmira Savings Bank President and CEO Thomas Carr says the merger will afford customers expanded digital and mobile banking options. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
A 36-year-old Chautauqua County man tried to get away from sheriff's deputies last night on a tractor. Needless to say, he didn't get very far. Cops were called to a private residence in the town of Stockton to investigate a disorderly conduct complaint. That's when the man jumped on his John Deere and took off. He was taken into custody a short while later there in Stockton, New York. Hey, the two-minute drill next. Here's Sonny Delphia.
Yeah, let's start with Monday Night Football. The Los Angeles Chargers handed the Las Vegas Raiders their first loss of the year in prime time. Justin Herbert threw for 222 yards and three touchdowns, leading Los Angeles to a 28-14 win. Both teams are 3-1 on the year. To NASCAR, it was a rainy day at yesterday's playoff race at Talladega Super Speedway. Bubba Wallace driving through a crash into the front of the field 5 laps before the second rain stoppage of the race. And when officials called the race, Bubba's pit erupted. Bubba Wallace became the first black driver to win at NASCAR's Elite Cup level since Wendell Scott in 1963.
Yeah, I never think about those things. And when you say it like that, it obviously brings a lot of emotion, a lot of joy to my family, fans, friends. It's pretty cool. So, just proud to be a winner in the Cup Series.
To baseball, the New York Mets will not pick up manager Luis Rojas' option for next season, ending his tenure with the team at 2 seasons. Rojas drew praise this year as New York led the National League East for 3 months, but the team began a collapse in early August and was eliminated from playoff contention with more than a week remaining in the season. The Mets finished in third place behind Atlanta and Philadelphia. This season was Rojas' 16th with the Mets organization he previously coached with Binghamton. Tonight, the Yankees take on the Boston Red Sox in the American League wildcard game. New York will send Garrett Cole to the mound for the start.
Bit of a waiting game, I think, which is good for the body, good for the mind to a certain extent to recover, but you're chomping at the bit to get back out there. And
the winner of tonight's game moves on to face the Tampa Bay Rays in the American League Division Series. From the postseason to the preseason. On the ice, Sabres fall to Columbus 5-3. New Jersey big over the Capitals 4-1. Flyers beat the Bruins in overtime 2-1. Maple Leafs 3, Ottawa 1. In the NBA in Toronto, the Raptors big over the 76ers 123-107. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, debt limit deadline, Facebook whistleblower, and the first movie ever made in space.
The Abolition of Man might be C.S. Lewis's most contemporarily relevant book. And to understand it, you might need to go to Narnia. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Whenever I struggle to understand something that C.S. Lewis is trying to say in his works of nonfiction, I always find it helpful to go to Narnia. For example, if you read Mere Christianity and struggle with some of the concepts he includes there, you just need to read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The same is true with another of his works, one that I think is so important for our contemporary cultural moment. It's called The Abolition of Man. The opening essay in The Abolition of Man is titled Men Without Chest. And Men Without Chess, Lewis, is critiquing the educational system because, he says, it fills kids' heads with knowledge and their bellies with passion, but does nothing to cultivate the chest. Now, what is Lewis talking about? Lewis is referring back to something that Aristotle taught, that the head is the seat of the reason, and the belly is the seat of the passion. Aristotle believed something that should be obvious, that good citizens are people whose head governs the belly. You never really want to meet someone whose belly always wins the day. Aristotle thought that the head could govern the belly through the creation of good habit, and there's certainly a lot of truth to that. But if you've ever been in a real conflict between your head and your gut, you know what typically happens. Your reason becomes an instrument to justify whatever it is that you want more than anything else. This is what C.S. Lewis understood, and this is what he was critiquing in the educational system in his essay, Men Without Chest. Now, if you need help understanding what Lewis was trying to say in Men Without Chess, you can always go to Narnia, specifically the book The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which has one of the best opening lines of any book ever. His name was Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it. Eustace is the boy without a chest, and you know this because as soon as Lewis introduces the character of Eustace, he then complains about the failures of the educational system. What's the problem with Eustace? He's a spoiled brat. How did he become a spoiled brat? Well, from schools that filled his head with knowledge and his belly with passion, but did nothing to cultivate the chest. Men Without Chest is just one example of how important the book, The Abolition of Man, is to understanding our current cultural moment. And I'm very grateful that Dr. Michael Ward, one of the foremost C.S. Lewis scholars on the planet, has written a companion guide to The Abolition of Man. It's called After Humanity, a guide to C.S. Lewis's The Abolition of Man. In it, Michael Ward takes you chapter by chapter, essay by essay, through the most important ideas of The Abolition of Man. And because we think that the analysis that this book provides is so critical for understanding our cultural moment, we'd like to send you a copy of both The Abolition of Man and After Humanity, a guide to The Abolition of Man by Michael Ward. And we'll send you a copy of both of these books for a gift of any amount to the Colson Center this month. And that's not all. Dr. Ward has graciously agreed to provide us with a series of video introductions to various parts of The Abolition of Man, and to host a special webinar for our friends and supporters this month. So to get your copy of The Abolition of Man and a copy of After Humanity and access to the live webinar and to the pre-recorded introductory videos, visit breakpoint.org/abolitionofman. That's breakpoint.org/abolitionofman, and give a gift to the Colson Center this month. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
It is 22 past the hour. Let's check weather next. Kevin Williams.
The call for this afternoon, mostly cloudy, a shower in spots, humid, high temperatures, mid-60s to the low 70s. Mainly cloudy tonight and tomorrow, some patchy fog late tonight, dropping to or just below 60. A little brighter tomorrow, up around just over 70. It's a warm day Thursday, early fog, then some sunshine. The high temperature Thursday in the 70s.
All right, Kev, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm Bob Price. Great to have you with us today. Lots going on this Tuesday afternoon, the 5th of October. Facebook is very much under fire these days. The social media giant was out of commission for several hours yesterday due to technical difficulties.
The massive global outage started after Facebook said that what it called configuration changes on its routers were the root of the issue, disrupting network traffic and bringing services to a halt.
Vladimir Dutier says Facebook was offline for more than 6 hours Monday. A Facebook whistleblower is testifying on Capitol Hill right now. She's 37-year-old Frances Haugen. She likens the social media site to Big Tobacco in terms of its overall business practices.
There were conflicts of interest between what was good for the public and what was good for Facebook.
Haugen says Facebook hid from the public the potential risk of suicide and negative body image its Instagram platform poses to children and teens. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is scheduled to vote tomorrow to raise the nation's borrowing limit. He'll need the support of 10 Republicans to raise the debt ceiling.
Failure to raise the debt limit means the U.S. can't borrow any more money to pay bills. That could mean the nation's credit ratings downgraded, stock markets could sink, interest rates might spike, and Social Security and pension payments wouldn't go out.
Ed O'Keefe in Washington, the deadline to reach a debt limit deal is October 18th. President Biden on the road today. He's in Howell, Michigan, trying to sell to the American people his multi-trillion dollar Build Back Better domestic program. Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
This is not going to cost the American public a dollar. The plan costs nothing for the American people who make less than $400,000.
Republican strategist Karl Rove.
It's going to have to come from somewhere, and where it's going to come from is from everybody. 75% of it is going to be paid for in the form of lower wages, higher costs to consumers.
Progressive Democrats are holding hostage the infrastructure component until they get their way on social welfare spending. Attorney General Merrick Garland is cracking down on parents who oppose the teaching of critical race theory in school.
What the Attorney General is doing here is against our core values as a country. I mean, we're talking for the most part about parents that are going to school board meetings to petition the government for redress of their grievances. And now when you have the Department of Justice wielding the FBI saying that we're going to go after parents for harassment, what is harassment? Is that, hey, I'm going to show up at a school board meeting and talk about what you're doing to hold you accountable? So for the Attorney General of the United States of America to put out something like this that has such a chilling effect on First Amendment rights of parents who are literally just fighting for their kids' education is absolutely insane.
That's Ian Pryor, president of the group Fight for Schools.
Parents have a role in education. They do get to hold their school board members accountable, and that what we're seeing out of the federal government is frightening, and people should continue to stand up for their rights.
The National School Board Association has asked the White House to use the Patriot Act against parents who oppose critical race theory. Disturbing new report today out of France revealing some 3,000 pedophile priests assaulted as many as 300,000 children dating back to the 1950s. Again, this is out of France today. The report says the crimes were not just carried out by clergy, but by others in the Catholic Church as well. A human trafficking ring has been busted up in the state of Ohio, and it's landed hundreds in jail.
During Operation Ohio Nose, we collectively arrested 161 men trying to buy sex, three of whom were trying to buy sex from someone they thought was a minor, a child.
Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost says 10 children were rescued in that sting operation. A shootout at an Amtrak train has left a DEA agent dead. It happened in Tucson, Arizona. Reporter Jeff Pagay.
It all started on the train with a confrontation between two DEA agents and a suspect.
Law enforcement officers confronted two people on the second level of that double-decker train. That's when one opened fire. Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus.
They were checking for illegal guns, money, drugs. This is something they do, as I said, routinely.
The gunman was later found dead in a train bathroom. Two other cops were injured. One is critical. A dozen Republican governors will pay a visit to the southern border tomorrow to get a firsthand look at the impact of America's illegal immigration crisis. University of Texas political scientist Victor Rojas says terror groups may be looking to exploit this crisis.
We shouldn't be surprised, but it's shocking in the fact that this is the perfect storm that we always worried about. The levels of chaos and clutter makes it a lot easier for people with Al-Qaeda ties to kind of hide in plain sight.
The governors will be in Mission, Texas to see for themselves how unlawful border crossings are affecting border communities. Johnson & Johnson is asking the FDA to authorize the company's coronavirus vaccine booster shot. This is for folks ages 18 and up.
J&J has submitted data to the FDA in a bid to gain emergency use authorization for a second dose to be given about 2 months after its first shot. shot. Right now, it's a one-and-done COVID vaccine. The company recently announced that a second dose, 2 months after the first, makes the J&J vaccine up to 94% effective. Over 15 million people across the U.S. have already gotten a J&J COVID shot. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
You and I may have to settle for reruns of some of our favorite TV shows. Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez.
Behind-the-scenes union members, including camera operators, set builders, and makeup artists, have voted to strike against companies like Disney and Netflix. They're demanding higher pay and larger contributions to health and pension plans.
That's Deborah Rodriguez in Hollywood. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. This time yesterday, we had lots of showers and some thundery downpours in the area. Not so much this afternoon, but we're still in this moist, unsettled pattern. So be alert for a shower here and there. And some patchy fog will be reforming overnight tonight. But gradually, high pressure out of Minnesota will give the boot to some of this moist air. And our weather will be turning brighter and drier. The call for this afternoon, mostly cloudy. A shower in spots, humid, high temperatures, mid-60s to the low 70s. Mainly cloudy tonight and tomorrow. Some patchy fog late tonight, dropping to or just below 60. A little brighter tomorrow, up around just over 70. It's a warm day Thursday, early fog, then some sunshine. The high temperature Thursday in the 70s.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kevin Williams. And finally, at noon today, blast off in Russia today for an actor and a movie director. Did you hear about this? They are on their way to the International Space Station to make the world's first movie in orbit.
Liftoff of Soyuz MS-19 with an actress and her producer beginning a journey to the International Space Station.
How about that? The pair will spend 2 weeks aboard ISS filming scenes for a movie called Challenge. It's about a surgeon who tries to save a crew member with a heart condition. Next week, American actor William Shatner of Star Trek fame will become the oldest person ever to fly in space when he blasts off a Jeff Bezos Blue Origin rocket.
I'm going to see the vastness of space and the extraordinary miracle of our Earth.
Beam me up, Captain Kirk. The 90-year-old actor will make history October the 12th. 1 week from today, William Shatner will be in space. And that's the world we live in, Tuesday, the 5th day of October. Just a reminder, we're off tomorrow through Friday. It's Fall Share-a-thon. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.